Chattanooga area. Tony Centers Outdoors is live on the air from the banks of the beautiful Tennessee River in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Good morning, Professor Trout.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm good.
Although my title has changed apparently on Facebook.
To Professor Carp?
Yes.
Carp Professor?
Yes, I believe Jimmy McGowan made those disparaging remarks and called me the Carp Professor when I'm actually the Trout Professor, although I have chased carp. But
Have we not done several shows on carping?
Yes, we have. Did I not go carp fishing this year? Yes, I did.
Well, Professor Carp it is.
All right, there we go. I guess Jimmy was right.
Yeah, we may, if we have time. This is opening day of deer season, and I've been giving Rob a hard time all week about scheduling somebody that's not a deer hunter on here on opening day of deer season. But in reality, all the deer hunters have no stories to tell yet because they're just now going today.
True.
First day.
True.
So after about a week of giving him Hades, I decided to let him off the hook and say, hey, this will be a good show.
Yeah.
And actually, it's already going to turn out. It's going to be a good show. We have in the house Randy Wharton from Wild Trails. And not only is he going to be here talking about some of the stuff that they do with the Wild Trails organization, which is a nonprofit organization which is dedicated to saving trails, I guess is the best way to put it, or building and saving.
Yeah. Promoting, I guess, too. Yeah.
But he's also a stand-up paddleboarder. And what I have just learned, he's one of these crazy people that's going to be swimming down the river in the morning at 7:30 in the morning. He's an Ironman competitor. So let me tell you, the health of this studio is going up greatly.
Yeah, indeed.
Because between Rob and myself and Grizzly, we don't even come close to his conditioning together.
No.
So,
no.
And before we get started, though, we do have the aforementioned carp calling hunter. Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
You're not in the woods yet, are you?
No. I'm headed up. I'm about Sail Creek. The camouflage army is moving at a rapid pace on 27 North.
Boy, you're not kidding. I'll tell you what. When I was walking my dog this morning, all the people were rolling out of my neighborhood. I haven't seen that many vehicles at 3:45 in the morning since last deer season.
Oh, I tell you, yeah, I've been awake since about 2:30. I woke up and thought, well, I know I'm going to oversleep. May as well get up. I'm ready for it. It's been a long, hot summer, and been busy, and I'm ready for some tree time. By the way, Rob, carp professor is a term of endearment.
Well, I appreciate that, Jimmy.
No problem. I took it. Sims was going to be on with y'all this morning. I guess he was just name dropping Tony
at
his post.
No, Richard doesn't have to name drop, but he was trying to give me a plug to get people listening because that is kind of a big deal that people need to be aware of. And not only that, but and we'll talk about it here in a second, but the boat ramps on the river side of the dam is also going to be, all but one is going to be closed tomorrow.
Yeah, so. I guess that's where they're doing the swimming leg of the Ironman.
That's correct. So you've got the only one I believe that's open below the dam is the one right at Chattanooga State, the first one. The other two are closed, Lupton City and the River Park. And then, of course, Chester Frost is closed for the next 2 days. So access has been limited.
I imagine so. Well, as long as I can get my four-wheeler off this trailer and head up that ridge here about an hour before daylight, I'll be in good shape.
There you go. I look forward to hearing your deer stories here. I'm assuming it's okay if I read your Facebook disclaimer.
Oh, no, absolutely. No,
well, that was great.
It's out there. I put it out there. I actually got a lot of funny feedback on that from some friends, but you know what? It is what it is. I am who I am. Love me or hate me.
Well, Jimmy, we love you here at Tony Sanders Outdoors, I can assure you.
Guys, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds
good.
Good luck
to you.
Thanks, man. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
There is one person, I can't talk about the rest of the city, but that is one person that is eat up with deer season opening today.
Yes, so. Most definitely.
So, Randy, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
He pulls in this morning. I hadn't met him. I said, well, you must be Randy because you're the only person crazy enough to be out here with us at 4:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And he said, it's good training because you have got to catch a bus at 4:30 in the morning to do this.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of silly because the race doesn't start till 7:30. 7:40 for us. I think the pros go off at 7:30. So, I mean, the soonest I could get in the water is probably 7:40, and then the first bus to the swim start starts at 4:30, I think. So, and it's first come, first serve. I mean, you know, your clock doesn't start till you go across the time, you know, the timing mat right at the dock there. So, yeah, if I do that, I'm not sure what I'll do for 3 hours.
Yeah, so I guess so. It really doesn't matter because you start when you start.
Yeah, it's a individual time trial.
Yeah,
really can't. You can't draft on the bicycle, so you're not allowed to ride with somebody. You'll get disqualified if you draft on the bicycle. So it's all individual, except for the run. You can run with people there, of course.
Interesting. And what we're talking about, of course, is a huge deal, which is the Ironman, which is starting tomorrow. It's actually going on all weekend down at the riverfront. And the village is right there on the green, I guess, right in front of the blue plate. I was talking to one of the elected officials, I guess, Friday. He said, man, this looks like Riverbend down there. This thing is huge.
Yeah, it's a production. It kind of reminds me of a circus a little bit.
That's a good description.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
Lots of tents.
Well, they certainly, I mean, when it rolls in, it's very much like that. There's 20 different cargo vans that come in with all the tents. And
that's not counting the vendors, is it?
Some of the vendors do travel with the with the Ironman. I don't know how, I think there's 8 in the country. So
okay.
It's all obviously during the summer. So they had a big one last weekend at Lake Tahoe that was canceled because of the fires. I mean, eight minutes before the start. So, you know, a lot of the pros got to come to this one. So that, as far as the pro field, it's probably the biggest, most competitive Ironman of the year, except for the World Championships in Hawaii.
How many competitors are we talking about?
2,800.
Wow.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, the paper estimated that this year's tourism dollars is going to be $1 billion.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Yeah, we'll definitely set a record.
Exactly.
They say one Ironman athlete, I mean, a typical race, if you go to a different city for a race, you know, go to a marathon in Chicago, whatever, usually sure. it's one athlete brings in two hotel rooms.
Okay.
For Ironman, one athlete brings in 6 hotel rooms because they come in early to train.
Right.
They usually bring family and friends with them. So it's just a, you know, as far as, you know, beds and meals, it's a huge win for the city. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And I to give you kudos, you were part of the organization that put this on and to bring this into. I mean, I know Ironman is a company, but from the Chattanooga perspective, you're part of the group that brought it in.
Yeah, yeah. They're just the initial committee that investigated. And there's 3 cities that were in the runnings. Hilton Head was one. I can't remember the other one, but everyone kind of believed that it would be Hilton Head would get it, but these guys were blown away that this, I mean, the city's just so perfect.
I can't see Hilton Head having the land mass to do it. It's very congested.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
I mean,
we're lucky to get it. It's a great event.
And so this would be like probably the only time we see it for years, or
we'll get it every year unless something bad happens.
Okay, good.
It's kind of like you think about the pro championship cycling tournament. We'll probably lose that. I've been told just because it's so disruptive to traffic. But this being on a Sunday, and it's really not that disruptive. The course is a double loop course going out Chattanooga Valley. Unless some of the municipalities and some of the decision makers decide that it's too much disruptive, I think we'll keep it. I mean, it'll take a couple years for people to really catch on, but I think it's a good fit.
Now, see, it's as hard as it is to believe, I love the cycling.
Yeah,
I had so much fun down there this year, and it shuts the city down. But I mean, so what?
I mean, think about it. If New York can shut the whole city down for a day for their marathon, I mean, we can shut our city.
I mean,
down
in reality,
to a certain degree.
How does the actual race day downtown is kind of crazy, but until then though, it's. Matter of fact, the trials were out at Volkswagen anyway, out at the Enterprise South Nature Park. So, I don't know. I mean, I hate to see us not have these things. This is becoming such an outdoor mecca, in my opinion. I mean, the old school stuff, the hunting, the fishing, the boating, the stuff on the water, the woods, things like that. Now you turn around and you add the Ironman, you add the cycling, you add what you do at Wild Trails, you add the paddleboarding, which we're going to talk about today as well. I mean, good Lord.
We got hang gliding, you've got access to rock climbing. We got everything here.
I mean, I tell people all the time, I could have worked anywhere and actually did work all over the United States. But I never, ever gave up my Chattanooga roots because I love the city. And this was back when the city was not as cool as it is now. And then I think it was 96, I finally said, heck with this, I'm going to just stay here. Because I was bouncing out and coming back, bouncing out and coming back. I'm like, man, I'm going to stay here. And to see what this has become is just, and I'm talking the area.
Yeah, I think Bob Corker is the one that coined the term, Boulder is, we want to be the Boulder of the South or something like that. And I'm from Boulder. I grew up there, and we moved here. I guess we've been in the South about 18 years now, but you couldn't pay me to move back there. I mean, I think that whole term should be flipped around. I mean, Boulder should only hope to be the Chattanooga of the West because we got way more going on than they do, including the climbing. And Boulder's known for climbing. I think Chattanooga's a better rock climbing place than the Boulder area is.
Yeah, And with your Wild Trails, you get into the climbing stuff too, or working on the climbing areas.
We're definitely very closely tied to the climbers, just because of trails access to that, and there's a good chance we'll do some combination events. There's a lot of discussion about combining all the sports into much bigger days. Kind of think about an off-road woods triathlon, if you will, that involves climbing and paddling and. And trail running and that kind of thing.
So,
we're heading
like,
that direction.
There's a couple of pretty known, don't you have like a stump jump thing or something?
Yeah, it's coming up next weekend.
Now, you're involved in that as well?
Yeah, that's our race.
And I'm a good friend of mine who's a huge hunter, part of the National Wild Turkey Federation, Kevin Manning, is into, you may know Kevin.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Okay. Kevin, I remember when Kevin kind of got into this back or wooded running deal thing, and biking and stuff. So I've talked to him some about that. So it's pretty cool.
Are you sure he's not just out there scouting turkeys and calling it running in the woods?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. You're absolutely right.
Well, I was going to say that he's told me that it gives him a lot of opportunity to see the woods in a different setting. And even though he's running or whatever through there, it does give him a lot of opportunity to it's like we've talked about, when you get out in it, you can see a whole lot more than sitting there reading about it.
True.
All right, I'm looking forward to this show. I've given Rob a hard time for a week now. So
a hard time is an understatement.
Tony Sanders Outdoors. We'll be right back. Told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my whipping.
the bass destruction.
Welcome back, Tony Sanders Outdoors. 267-1023, 267-1023 to be part of the show. In the house from Wild Trails, a nonprofit organization. We have are you the head of it, you and your wife?
One and only employee.
Oh, okay. Randy Wharton from Wild Trails. And what does Wild Trails do?
So it is kind of two parts of Wild Trails. We put on, it's a nonprofit, but not traditional in that we don't go hat in hand and raise money. We don't do any kind of grant, writing, that kind of thing. We raise our money by putting on trail races. And so there's 11 races throughout the year, distances from 10K, which is 6 miles, all the way up to 100 mile. We just did a 100-mile race in Cherokee National Forest this year. And so we have the whole gamut of distances, mostly kind of geared towards the ultra, which is longer than a marathon. And then all the money that we raise goes to the other side of Wild Trails, which is preserving and protecting trails. So we build trails, we maintain all the trails, and these are nature trails. We're not talking about greenways and that kind of thing. And then we are really doing a big push to try to get more kids out on the trails and get more people off the couch to try to start some kind of fitness program out in the woods. Because that, arguably is probably the easiest way to start a fitness program. I mean, the doctor's going to tell you, you need to exercise 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week. And most people that are off the couch, they go out there and bust it in the gym, and they're just going to get hurt. So the best way to really start a program is to go out and walk in the woods, I think, for an hour a day, every day. And so anybody can walk for an hour, I think. And so that's what we're trying to get a little bit more traction and get more people interested in the woods. And we've got by far the best trail city in America and maybe in the world. There's 56 trailheads within 25 minutes of downtown Chattanooga. Second place, I think, what my research has found, Ashland, Oregon, has got like 20-some. And everybody thinks Boulder, Colorado is this great outdoor place, and they've got like 12 trailheads. So we've got, and thanks to our local forefathers, they did such a great job for us to preserve and make so much land around Chattanooga public.
Right.
And so we have access to all that. And there's just, there's a lifetime more of trails that we could build in just magnificent places. So really lucky to have the beauty around Chattanooga and then also have the access to that land. So
and you're not speaking uneducatedly about Boulder because that's where you're from.
Right, yeah.
So you've been here how long?
We've been in Chattanooga 9 years. I first recruited. High tech is my main background, and was recruited to a company in Huntsville when we first moved here. So Huntsville for a while, and then here for about half last 9 years.
Awesome. Let's talk to Sonny the Duck Hunter.
Morning, Tony.
Hey, Sonny. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing real good. I'm going up here where there ain't any trails. And I'm gonna go in here and try to harvest Bambi.
No, you're going after Bambi's mama or daddy. You're not harvesting Bambi.
No, that's not true. If you watch the movie, at the end of the movie, I've got children, okay? You can't fool me with this argument about Bambi, because at the end of the movie, Bambi is a 10-point buck, okay? You got to pay attention to what's really going on. What's really going on is, hey, all you guys going deer hunting this morning, pay close attention. Before you get in that tree stand, put your safety harness on.
Absolutely. I just taught a hunter safety class last week, and that's the thing that kills me, Sonny, is, well, not me,
yeah,
a lot of people, and people don't realize this, that 80% of the falls above 12 feet are fatal, and I see so many people getting up in a tree stand that do not put a safety belt on. It's stupid.
I've got a young friend of mine that is the very best deer hunter I've ever met. And he finally messed around and got him a little girlfriend, and she's just as cute as a bug, and she loves to hunt and fish. And I asked him, I said, are you going to have her climb trees this year? And he says, well, yeah. And I says, are you going to have her wear a safety harness? He says, well, of course. She can't get off the ground without one. I asked him, have you ever had one on yourself? And he says, no. Because he's never won one in his life, but he's going to make sure his sweet little girlfriend has one. Does that make any sense to you?
Absolutely not.
So I got on to him about it again and offered to buy him one, and I think he went and got one.
Well, you know, I told a friend of mine, a friend of mine's wife, that and he was standing there because he's one of these guys that does not wear a safety belt. And I told his wife, we were at a dinner or whatever, and I said, "Don't worry, Kina and I will help take care of you and the kids when he kills himself because he's a fool." And I meant it because I just, you know, if you people die every day, it happens, but don't hasten it by doing something stupid. And that's all that is. Not wearing a safety belt up into a tree is just stupid. I mean, you wouldn't climb a rock without safety.
Tony, I've got to jump out of the car now.
All right, man.
Daggum whole valley full of deer out here waiting for me to come take care of them.
Well, hey, don't forget my Harvest for the Hungry that we're doing again. This will be our fifth year, and teamed up with Don's Meats. If you get extra Bambi, take it by Don's, and he'll process that, and we'll give it to the Chattanooga Community Kitchen.
Right on, yeah. Don, he's a real good old guy, and I appreciate the Hunters for the Hungry a whole bunch, and I'm going to get out here and do it. I'll see you later, Tony.
See you, man. Bye. Sonny the Duck Hunter, probably one of the most colorful people you'll ever meet, and as genuine as you can imagine. Just a super great guy.
But could we get him duck hunting on a paddleboard, though?
If it involves duck hunting, I'm sure you could.
I bet we could. And that was something you were talking about. You were somebody that, because the other thing that, actually, originally, I think what we brought you in here for was the paddleboarding. And you said people are starting to hunt and fish off of paddleboards.
Well, I don't know. Well, fishing for sure. I mean, they have deep sea fishing competitions on paddleboard now. And it's crazy. But the hunting, I've got a friend that's done it. I haven't seen it. I just can't imagine shooting a shotgun on a paddleboard. I think I'd be
you'd have to
practice a lot. It would not be trivial.
Well, I would imagine that you would have to have a pretty stable board to do that.
Yeah, you have to, for sure.
Because, number one, duck hunting occurs in the cold.
Yeah.
So, and I guess you could hunt in some of the, like Louisiana or someplace like that, and it's not cold. But still, I wouldn't exactly want to go for a swim in camo.
No, not really.
Camo wetsuit. I mean, it's a new business.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Camo.
Copyrighted by Nathan Patrick Gale today.
Hey, but yeah, absolutely. So, I've got a friend that does a lot of ocean kayak fishing tournaments. I don't know. A paddleboard? Of course, you can sit down on those and relax, right?
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely.
As long as you can get back up.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that always bothers me about paddleboard is my knees are so bad, I can't see myself crawling back up after I sat down. If I stood up the whole time and didn't fall or anything, I'd be okay. Getting back on would be a challenge.
Now, I've seen guys put Yeti coolers on those things, so you could sit down and take a break if you wanted to.
Right.
And I've seen ones with like a handle that you can hold on to and use as a backrest and kind of keep your balance. So there was a episode of Tennessee Wildside where Chris Nisham, the fly fishing guide, went down the Caney Fork on a paddleboard. He went down from the dam to Betty's Island fly fishing on a paddleboard, which turned out not to be the greatest idea because about halfway down they had to take the skeg off the bottom because it would catch and he would go forward and almost go in the drink.
So. How much weight did Ben Forsberg have on his trip in Alaska?
Yeah, it was over 100 pounds.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was
his
thinking.
Girlfriend had over 70 pounds on his, So yeah, you can put a lot of weight on those things.
I mean, basically, it's a big surfboard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who came up with this?
You know, it started in Hawaii. You know, they started doing prone. Proning basically is laying down like surfers lay right down on their boards to get going, and there's a break basically big waves that are out from the shore, so they just started paddling out there and they said, well, let's just see if we can paddle to the next island. So they started doing that and it just got started, and they started designing boards a little bit different. And yeah, the racing boards look totally different than a surfboard now. It kind of looks more like the keel of a boat than it does a surfboard. And they're a lot faster than they used to be.
Right. Beaver Man.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. I would like to congratulate our esteemed council members for their the sage and venerable gentlemen and women on our council that made the bold and brash decision to make no decision concerning the hunt at the former toxic waste dump that the bunny huggers would have you believe is now a pristine park.
Well, it is a nature park. Yeah,
it was hunkable creatures.
We had a good turnout, Beaverman. We had about 20 hunters show up, and I spoke for a few minutes. Billy Swan III spoke on behalf of the Wounded Warrior Hunt, and it turned out good for us.
Well, that's good. I did read on the CFF last night. One of the guys said he got a letter saying that when he goes scouting, he can't wear camouflage.
That
in there before, prior to the hunt.
Really?
Yeah, I guess it might hurt somebody's feelings. Some of the bunny huggers might.
I did not know that. So he got. I'm assuming he got this from TWRA.
He did not. He implied that. He didn't state it in the little poster on CFF.
Yeah.
But,
it would have had to come from them because they send you stuff about the hunts before the hunt. So.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a requirement if you get drawn, you can't. I don't know.
I don't know. Interesting.
So is he like supposed to wear a bow tie and blue blazer and
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Seersucker after Labor Day.
I don't. I don't know. That's pretty interesting. I had not heard that. And if that's truly what happened, I find that even humorous.
That's just a conciliatory gesture to the bunny huggers, like, well, we don't want to hurt your feelings.
I don't know. We'll check into that.
I just find that, just stupid. Just plain stupid. I mean, who cares? Well, the deer don't care what you're wearing. They really don't.
You're right. I understand.
They don't care what you shoot them with either.
No.
Legal weapon, crossbow or a compound bow or a longbow. I have a friend who still hunts with a longbow.
Yeah, I do too. So,
you hunt with a longbow?
I have, yes. Not very successfully.
Okay. That was my next question. There's never been hunting with a certain type of weapon and then actually being successful.
There's harvesting with a crossbow and there is hunting with a longbow.
Yes, understood.
I'm assuming you're headed to the woods?
Well, I am. We're still landscaping for the ducks.
Okay.
The rampant problem of illiteracy in Alabama, it just makes me sick. We put up a sign on our corn patch specifically saying this corn is for the ducks. And the daggum illiterate deer proceed to just bed down in it. I don't even think they stand up anymore. I think they just roll over and knock corn down and eat it off the ground.
Shoot them for trespassing.
Well, I might have to do some citations today. Although deer season is not open in Alabama yet, it's not open until the 15th. I would not break any game laws.
I understand. You have a good day.
Thank you,
gentlemen. Enjoy it. See ya. Tony Sanders Outdoors. We'll be right back.
Hey, Master Buck. Come a slipping in. And as wind struck, that bow felt like it weighed 200 pounds. I was shaking like a leaf, but I laid the smack down.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors, 267-1023, 267-1023, to be part of the show. In-house, Randy Wharton from Wild Trails, a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to saving the trails of the area. And glad to have Randy in. He's also a competitor in the Ironman. He's also a paddleboarder. He's got the ultimate life here. He's the outdoorsman.
Yeah, he said he spends half of pretty much every day outside. Where do I get that job? Where were you at during high school career day? You had bankers, lawyers, stuff like that. Where were the outdoor careers? That's what I want to know.
About the only one you ever hear about is
the Army.
Yeah. No, the wildlife officers.
Yeah,
they didn't even come to ours.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about the only other job I can think of is a forest ranger.
Yeah.
Which most of them are in the office. I mean, they call themselves forest rangers, yeah. But they spend all the day inside.
Now, do you have to work closely with those guys? Like, have you done work up at Prentice Cooper and working with state people? And
well, yeah, Prentice Cooper's split in half, obviously. They got the WMA, which that's where the money comes from, so they pretty much run the show. Because it's all hunter based and obviously that makes sense. And then the other half is the state forest is the guys I deal with, which they're in charge of kind of maintaining the roads and trails.
Right. Okay.
So we deal with state forest guys and national forest and national park, and you know our we got races pretty much in every type of land organization you can think of.
I know that. The Prentice Cooper I find interesting because you have TWRA that's managing for wildlife. You have the state forest, which are foresters. And then you got the recreational side of all of it, too. And it's a place where it has to come together. Matter of fact, we had a pretty big controversy probably 5-6 years ago where they were not coming together very well.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I was involved in trying to kind of bridge that gap between the foresters and the hunters and the recreational people, and it was a challenge.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to be. I think it's getting better for sure. I mean, there's a lot of crossover. I see a lot more hunters that are into trail running and mountain biking and the other direction too. I mean, I think there's it's becoming a lot more of a friendly place to be. But it's got a ways to go, and there's still a lot of traditional guys that just, you know, they want to leave it to the same. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of controversy between the you know, newer sports, trail runners versus mountain bikers. I mean, a lot of the trails were, you know, funded and built by, you know, by mountain bikers, and they believe that they should be mountain bike trails only, which, you know, there's a lot more hikers and
sure
and runners than there are mountain bikers.
Now, have you ever done the Appalachian Trail or anything like that?
No, I haven't done a whole lot of through hikes. You know, growing up in Colorado, I did a lot of backpacking, and I've done a fair amount here, but you know, not through hikes. They're really not a whole lot. Now there's the Colorado Trail, but back then there wasn't, and now there's the Continental Divide Trail, which is a fairly new one that goes all the way from from Mexico to Canada. So, but yeah, not yet. I'd like to, for sure.
Yeah, because the Appalachians, what, 20?
2,600.
Yeah, 26, 2,700.
They just added more to it.
Yeah. The mountain's not growing, is it?
No. They just, I don't know why they stretched it. They just did.
I think that'd be cool. It'd be really cool if you could do the whole thing, just one fell swoop, but not many people can take a year off or whatever it takes to do that.
Well, it's a full summer. I think, you know, the average person, it's, you know, probably 3 or 4 months it would take at least. And they've got, actually, they're all getting linked. There's a transcontinent trail that's going mainly through Canada, but that's connecting that to the Pacific Crest Trail. And there's talk about, you know, somehow connecting that to the Penhody Trail, which goes all the way from Florida up to, you know, up to the Appalachian Trail. So you can actually eventually, I mean, it won't be in our lifetime, but be able to do a giant circumnavigation of the whole country. So yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot of trails, and a lot more interest in people getting out on trails now than there ever has been, for sure.
How can people, as far as you said, you make your money from doing the races and stuff, but how can people get involved with your organization and help with the trails and things like that?
Yeah, just get a hold of us. Wildtrails.org is our website, and a lot of information there. We've also got, you know, if you're interested in getting out on trails and starting some kind of a you know, if you want to be a trail runner, a lot of people are joining us with these group runs and they're just hiking. So we have a meetup group, which is a great organization. It's a service basically, and if you want to come and join us and get introduced to trails, that's probably the best way. And meetup.com is the website, and we're the Chattanooga Trail Runners.
Super. What have you got going on today?
I am going
at Sportsman's Warehouse.
I'm going to be teaching.
And Lehigh. Wait, let me do the commercial first.
Okay, sorry.
The one that they pay for. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
153 and Lehigh Highway, the great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. Is going to have a special guest today, and that would be Professor Karp. Will be there talking about fly fishing for trout.
Correct. I'm going to be out there from 1 to 5 doing a fly fishing class. They also today have GPS basics from 1 to 2 p.m. So if you want to learn about how to use the GPS, what the latest technology is in the GPS area, that's going to be from 1 to 2, and I'm going to be doing the fly casting class and introduction to Trout 101 from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. today.
Is this like the 4-hour class that you teach?
The 4-week class?
4-week class, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That'd be the 16-hour class?
Yeah, I'm trying to shave it down to a couple hours and get with enough time to get some good casting instruction in as well.
Well, good. So, that ought to be a challenge.
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's a challenge figuring out what to leave in and what to take out because all the information is important, but I'm going to stress the safety aspects and a few other little things, so.
Like if you fall in the river, what you should do, things like that?
First thing is don't panic.
Don't panic?
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah. Always check the generation schedule, always a handy thing.
Yes, important things.
Yeah, little details that sometimes get overlooked. I'm going to stick with a few.
You're going to talk about first aid?
I'm going to skip the chapter on first aid.
How to remove a hook?
Probably go over that briefly. I've got a couple of diagrams that show hook removal.
How do you remove a hook? You know what I do?
What?
You go to the
ER?
No, I carry a pair of dykes and take the barb off and pull it out.
What I do
and cuss like a sailor.
Yeah, what I normally have done in the past is go ahead and push it on through, cut the hook, and go from there. But there is the monofilament trick.
Yeah.
I've done it before on other people, but it would be hard to do on oneself. So I'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, I'll be out there from 1 to 5 today doing a fly casting class, and from 1 to 2 is going to be GPS basics.
Super. Let's talk to Scott. He's talking about geocaching, which you may know a little bit about. Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just heard you mentioning something about a GPS class and this being a outdoor show and everything. I was wondering if that was going to touch on geocaching because that's another good way to get people and especially kids outdoors. You know, you can you can go, they're everywhere and they take you to a lot of great natural places around like Cloudland Canyon and stuff, and you can see a lot of really neat off the beaten path type places that you wouldn't have even known existed, and plus you kind of get you outdoors and looking for something, you know. So I think that'd be a good thing to touch on in your GPS class.
Yeah, it probably would. I don't know what they will go over, but Randy, do you guys do some of those geocaching type deals in your Wild Trails groups?
Not traditional geocaching, but I mean it's just so valuable. Obviously, now we've got with the cell phone, you've got access to know exactly where you are and where you're going, and so there's a lot of that we use. Tagging trees that are down on the trails, we know exactly where they are. If there's a yellow jacket's nest out on the trail, if somebody's out there and they got their phone, they can tag that, and then we go back later on, as long as I got that GPS coordinates, go back and find that nest or find that big tree that comes down and
eliminate the nest.
Don't have to hunt all over. Yeah. Yeah, eliminate the nest. That's this is traditionally this is the typically the worst time of year for them. I don't know. The nests get so big, then they start splitting the nests.
Yeah.
So they're a lot more aggressive. And
did you see where that cop got stung down in Georgia?
Yeah,
and his dog got stung. He got stung over 100 times.
Wow.
He was chasing a crook through the woods and pissed off a yellow jacket nest.
Yeah, we put on this stump jump is the biggest race in the area. One of the biggest ultramarathons in the country. That's next weekend on the 4th, and it's typically the yellow jackets are one of the biggest challenges.
Somebody I work with runs in your stump jump, and she got stung numerous times last year.
Last year was the worst year I got stung more times last year than I have the rest of my life combined.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly as bad this year. I don't know why.
Yeah. Tony Centers Outdoors. We'll be right back. Concentrate. We're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun. And I'm holding it. Tony Sanders Outdoors. You know, the only thing that Beatty's fertilizer was not able to solve for me?
What's that?
Rain.
Yeah, we need some.
We need bad rain. I got 4 food plots, 3 acres of food plots that need rain bad. And hopefully, maybe not for you, but hopefully Sunday we'll get some rain finally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I would like the rain.
Well, when you're running?
Yeah.
Oh, and riding?
Yeah, either one. Don't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if you're swimming.
So for my food plots in Randy's Ironman road race, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.
Bring
you're
it
here. I think we're talking about 30% chance of rain now on Sunday and 50 or 60% on Monday. So hopefully between the 2 days we'll get some rain. But, man, the food plots are coming on strong. They're, the ryegrass is up, the clover's up, the turnips are up. We just need rain to get them all up.
We got some green acres going on out there.
I tell you what, it's pretty cool. We'll be posting pictures very soon. And I was right, Rob. It was my phone was so dusty, the pictures turned out okay. Not great.
You were right. Who was right on that?
I was. I said my phone was dusty.
That's what I said. I said the cover's dirty.
You said the cover's dirty. No, the yeah. Okay, anyway. The pictures are okay. They're not great.
Okay.
So we're going to get better pictures. I cleaned my case. I guess I should not throw the case into a Polaris Ranger and ride around a dirty farm and expect it not to get dirty, would I?
Probably not the best plan of action.
So anyway, we need rain, and thanks to Beatty's for giving us all the other stuff that we put down. And we're going to harvest some deer for that. And I've enjoyed this one. I've enjoyed this one, so I'm ready for some. I'm like Jimmy. I'm ready for some. I'm ready for some pre-processed food in the field.
Sounds
all right,
good to me.
Top of the hour. Tony Sanders Outdoors. We'll be right back.